Ketidaktentuan ekonomi dunia terus mencetuskan kegelisahan buat kebanyakan negara. Ia diburukkan lagi dengan perang Ukraine yang menyaksikan peningkatan harga bahan mentah dan juga menolak naik inflasi di negara maju. Namun apakah anjuran untuk tahun ini? Kita bagi bincangkan lebih lanjut bersama dengan Ketua Pakar Ekonomi GYIQI, Sean Said, yang bersedia pada ketika ini. Sean, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Sean, first of all, the global macroeconomic outlook continues to stay fragile and the markets are getting nervous now. What are the major risks to the global economy in the next, say, 12 to 15 months?
Najib, we shared in our newsletter last July that there are four risks that are going to hit the global economy in the next 9 to 12 months. And they're happening at a very fast pace. The first that we mentioned to our valued investors was the systematic risk. What is systematic risk? The inflation will remain high, it will remain stubborn, and it will continue to show its head. That is happening in global economy. The second was the interest rate hike. Many central banks are raising interest rate to curb inflation, and it is happening right in front of us. Second, we mentioned about the sovereign debt risk that is going to hit the global economy. On 12th April, we saw that Sri Lankan defaulted on its external debt tantamount to $51 billion. Many countries going forward will be making default. Russia is technically on default on their sovereign debt risk. Again, this is happening. And there are many economies that are going to be facing this sovereign debt issue moving forward. The third thing we mentioned about the liquidity risk. Once the Fed start going into quantitative tightening, there will be liquidity crisis in the market. And once you have liquidity crisis in the market, obviously that will make investors nervous. The fourth it is also happening is the valuation risk. What happened on 20th April, Netflix lost $54 billion just in one day. That is roughly the GDP size of equivalent to four economies like Laos, Cambodia, Liechtenstein, and Fiji. So what we are witnessing right now, the markets are very uncertain, as you rightly pointed out. The fragilities, the economic fragilities will continue, and we will have a lot of troubles ahead. So what is happening right now, the global economy continues to remain in an uncharted waters, and it is not getting any direction. And macroeconomic stability has become a huge question mark.
And also, Sean, of course, your calls are all documented in press and also media. These are big calls for you. And out of four, you have already, you know, hit three, i.e. 75% of the you know, the things that you are projected. When do you see, you know, when do you foresee the liquidity risk entering into the market? Can I add also, if we are witnessing 1937 again?
That's a perfect analogy, Najib, as you rightly pointed out. Once the Fed starts tightening, they maintain their hawkish stance, and they have already mentioned that they will raise 50 basis points next month. And if you have seen in the minutes of March, this is one of the steepest tightening cycles that we are witnessing. And obviously, it will create liquidity crisis. And if I were to look at 1937 and history, it is the same right now. Dollar is getting stronger. Fed is hiking interest rate. The markets are getting nervous, and investors are, you know, they don't know what to do. So I think once the Fed starts increasing 50 basis points, we will have liquidity crisis in May and June, and that will create a financial bazooka in the market.
Of course, Sean, in the latest issue of the Economist magazine, Wall Street Journal weekend issue, and the Financial Times, where the market commentators are saying that game is over for the Fed and markets will get ugly and a lot of you know, shenanigans would be happening. What's your view on this?
Yes, if you pick up the latest issue of Economist magazine, this is picture speaks it all. They say the Fed that has failed. So we have been sharing since last year that Fed has made a wrong call on the inflation outlook when Fed was saying that this inflation will go away by August, September 2021. And now we are sitting in April 2022 and inflation is already at 8.5%, which is pretty high. So I think Fed, the game is over for Fed, and Fed does not know what to do. They should have raised the interest rates in 2020. They have been behind the curve. If I were to look at history, in 1979, the debt was 0.8 trillion. Today, the debt is 30.4 trillion. Fed has printed $4 trillion in the last 24 months. The balance sheet has gone up from $800 billion in 2008 to $9 trillion in 2022. So obviously Fed does not know, and QE, they have been banking on QE, that QE is going to spur growth. QE has failed miserably to spur growth. It has brought inequality in the economy. It has not brought any fruit for the economy. And right now what I foresee that there will be a lot of uncertainty in the equity and the bond market. Look at Netflix. This is just one example. And moving forward, we will have a lot of, you know, shenanigans, as you rightly pointed out, in the equity and bond market.
Of course, Sean, if we look at the market, markets are in turmoil right now, and stagflation is here to stay, and 1970 era is back. Where do we go from here in terms of, you know, market outlook?
I think I am quite bearish. I don't see the market settling down very soon. What I foresee in the next 12 to 15 months, the global economy is heading for inflationary recession. What is inflationary recession? The prices will remain high globally. Already we have seen the energy prices are high, food prices are going all-time high, and there will be recession. Consumer sentiments are quite bearish. There is a sense of, you know, uncertainty among consumers, and consumers, they don't know. Once the consumer spending goes down, it will bring a recession into the economy. So it proves that recession is not a business cycle, it's a consumer cycle, because when consumers don't spend, the businesses don't invest, the economy actually shrinks. So what is happening right now, Europe is in bad shape, US is struggling. The only movement that is happening right now is in Asia. So you have three regions that have been focused by the global investor. You have US, Europe, and Asia. I am bearish on Europe. Europe is struggling. Europe is technically, the recession is knocking the doors of Europe. US struggling, recession by Q1 2023 is very much on the cards. Asia will continue to rise because the consumption patterns are strong. Economies are vaccinated, tourism is coming back. The governments are maintaining macroeconomic stability. So the game has moved, the pivoted towards Asia, and Asia is a growth story for the next 2 to 3 years.
If we look at the globalization, Sean, the economy, of course, is intertwined between each block, from Europe to US to Asia as well. Do you think that what has happened in Europe, and also what we expect to happen in Europe, which is the recession, will come sooner or later to Asia?
Right now, I wouldn't say that it will come to Asia, but yes, economies will be slowing down next year onwards. If, you know, Europe is in US, they are one of the biggest economies of the world. If they slow down, it will have a ripple effect to other economies, not at this moment, but maybe next year by Q2 2023.
We don't see the war in Ukraine to subside any, you know, anytime sooner. But we've seen the inflation is higher in US, in UK, in Europe, countries, in major economy in the world. But do you foresee that, especially for Malaysia, that the inflation will, you know, will go higher instead of 2.2% that we recorded for the month of February and March?
We're at a July IQI. We already shared that inflation in Malaysia to remain between 2.2 and 2.75. Bank Negara has got a lot of room to maneuver. They will play their cards according to the market situation. So I think Bank Negara has got room to raise 25 to 50 basis points in the next 6 to 12 months, depending on the inflationary outlook, which remains subdued at the moment. It's not very high. It's still very much what the market expects. So I think Ukraine war has not really made a huge impact on Malaysia or an ASEAN economies as such.
Sean, I want to ask about this because we've seen a lot of Western countries led by US is, you know, isolating Russia, for instance. But if you look at China, it's trying to mend the broken ties and, you know, keep saying that we should work together for the economic purpose, economic recovery purpose and all that. Is it safe to say that the globalization is at the risk right now?
Absolutely, the globalization at risk. You cannot isolate any economy. All the economies are interrelated and collaboration is a key. Last December, I think you have shared in your LinkedIn that sanctions don't really work. They are counterproductive. And look at Russian ruble right now. When the sanctions started, Russian ruble was trading at 80 against dollar. It slided to 151. And right now, Russian ruble is back to 79. So Russian economy is still making the progress. They are still selling oil 30% less to the market. The market is buying oil from Russia. And 25% of grain, the wheat, comes from Russia and Ukraine. So I think the markets here are buying from Russia, and Russia has not really, you know, gone into recession as such.
Okay.
So I think do you think globalization, but at the moment, globalization at risk.
Do you think that we should brace for impact, especially for Malaysia?
At the moment, I wouldn't say get ready, but yes, after 2 to 3 months, we should be ready. If the Western media channels, they are reporting this war will continue, I think we should be ready to make our strategy plan.
Okay, Sean, this is the last week before we celebrate our Eid Raya and heading for a long weekend next. Would you like to say something to our valued viewers, Sean?
Yes, Assalamu alaikum to Malaysia. Hari Raya to everyone in Malaysia and Eid Mubarak. Please stay safe, enjoy your vacations and stay healthy.
Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your thoughts and insights on the global economy, especially macroeconomy. Itu tadi Sean Said, merupakan Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jual AQI, membincangkan tentang keadaan semasa ekonomi.